In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us.
He is among us.
Now let's try this one. Al-Messiah, mana. A plus for the deacon. We'll have to work on that one now. So we'll work on that. We'll work on the Arabic reading and response. Last Sunday, the gospel passage recounted the event of the apostles in the boat enveloped in a tempest. And Jesus the Christ came to them walking on the water, and he invited Peter to do the same. As long as Peter kept his eyes focused on the Lord, Peter was able to walk on the water. When Peter took his focus off of Christ, then Peter began to sink in the water. At the end, Jesus the Christ rebuked Peter for his lack of faith. Similarly today, Jesus the Christ again rebukes not only the disciples, but all the crowd for its lack of faith. A disheartened father brings his possessed son to the Lord. He's doubting and he's pleading. In Mark's gospel, in fact, the father says, quote, "If you can do anything, have pity on us and help us." In response to this, "if you can," the Lord actually says with an exclamation mark, "if you can." And then returning to today's gospel account in Matthew, we actually hear our Lord with great exasperation declare, "Oh, you faithless, oh, you perverse generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you?" End of quote. What we see throughout the scriptures was revealed to us about God and his people is his patient endurance. The reproach in today's gospel lesson is directed to that entire crowd of scribes, disciples, and that father. And in fact, this gospel passage in chapter 17, taking place immediately after our Lord has come down from the Holy Mount, he's come down from the Transfiguration. So this event is happening and puts in stark contrast some great examples of faith before our Lord began his journey to Jerusalem. We think of Jairus, that Roman ruler. We think of the Syrophoenician woman who came asking for healing for her daughter. And we think of the woman hemorrhaging blood who just worked her way through the crowd and reached out and touched his tassel. She says, "If only I touch the tassel, will I be healed." And it's these people, mostly pagans, who give witness to an act of great faith. And to these, the Lord always said, "Go. Your faith has made you whole." In today's gospel account, however, disciples. The Lord rebukes them, and he rebukes them harshly. He tells them, you lack faith. In fact, it's gotten to the point where now our Lord is somewhat weary about their disbelief. Such as the story of humanity and God. It's not the first time that the Jews lost their faith, but they're just a microcosm of all of humanity. How often throughout the entire scriptures, God is tested, God is challenged by the lack of faith of the people. Despite all that they've seen and witnessed and experienced, and they seem to revert back to disbelief. But again, what we see is not God not abandoning his people. What we see in God is patient endurance. God never tires of forgiving his people. God never tires of forgiving you and me. It's you and I who get tired of asking for forgiveness. These are the same disciples who in chapter 10, so this is chapter 17, who in chapter 10 were able to do supernatural acts in the power of the holy name of Jesus. Our Lord sent them out with power to heal the sick and to liberate those possessed by demons. Today, it was different. The disciples found themselves powerless. And they were powerless because they lacked faith. Their faith was weak. Their faith was anemic. What is that faith of which God could say will even move a mountain? And do not dismiss those words. It's not hyperbole. The Lord really means if you have faith, you could even move a mountain. Why do I say that? Look at the lives of the saints, men and women of incredible faith. If they could read hearts and souls, if they could see through doors and see through mountains, if they could know what was coming in the future, if they could begin healing, do you not think that God, if you have the faith that God could not give you the power to even move a mountain? Of course he can. These aren't words of hyperbole. The Lord is speaking the truth. Have powerful faith, but that faith must be rooted in prayer and in fasting. Prayer is not talking about God, and it's not talking to God in a monologue. Prayer is a conversation. It's a dialogue with God that comes out of communion with him. What is more, prayer is learning how to call on the name of Jesus constantly. Our holy fathers and mothers, the true theologians, the saints, our examples, teach us to call on the name of Jesus always and everywhere. Learning how to say what they called the Jesus Prayer without ceasing. Then there is fasting. In the Christian and apostolic tradition, fasting is not about dieting. That's what the world does. These are people consumed about the earthly body and physical looks or physical health. That's not why the Christian fasts. Fasting is abstaining from the things of the body in order to draw near to the things of the soul. I cannot move up. I cannot move in the spiritual if I'm tied down to the physical. Food holds me down. Technology locks me into temporal images, physical images, digital, things that aren't even real images. An over-attachment to a friend or a family member, a spouse, holds me down from being able to love rightly. Fasting frees you from what binds us to the earth, so you can move upward. In preparation for the great feasts, the church instructs her faithful to fast, like we've been doing for the Dormition. Why? The fasting is to free ourselves from physical attachments, from physical comforts, from earthly things, so that we may be more attentive to the goods of the soul rather than the goods of the body. To be able to truly enter into the mystery of the Dormition, the mystery of the Nativity, the mystery of the Resurrection, the mystery of the Apostles Peter and Paul and others. Prayer and fasting, they are the soil and the water necessary for faith to mature. Prayer and fasting are the soil and the water necessary for faith to mature. Otherwise, that supernatural gift of faith becomes weak and anemic. One saint, I found this quote, but many others have said the same thing or something similar. Saint Theophan the Recluse. He taught, quote, "Where there is no prayer and no fasting, there are the demons." End of quote. The disciples, therefore, in today's gospel, were unable to liberate a possessed boy because somehow they'd become slothful and negligent in their prayer and fasting. Perhaps they began to rely more upon themselves and their own human strength and human power versus divine power. Prayer and fasting roots us in God's power versus human or earthly or temporal power. Today's gospel lesson, therefore, warns you and me, about not to become complacent either in your fasting and in your prayer. Today's gospel lesson is a warning not to become lukewarm, lest you give in to the temptation of relying more on your strength, more on your ingenuity, more on earthly goods and earthly things. Perhaps, and we all do this too often, using earthly goods as a crutch rather than throwing yourself into prayer and fasting where you rely on God. Last week I commented that God puts you and me in the boat, that you and I may be tested. Our faith may be tested. This week, the teaching is similar. God allows you and me to experience the crucible of the wilderness, the droughts of consolation, and the periods of aridity. because they're invitations to greater prayer and greater fasting, which are the soil and the water for a mature faith. Christ is among us.